Item number two, report and possible discussion on the loan portfolio report from BlackRock Merrill Lynch by John Haas, Chief Financial Officer.
Yeah, and I'll just introduce Jeff Hewlett and Jeff Biggers, who of course come each quarter to give a summary of the performance for their portion of the portfolio that BlackRock and Merrill Lynch manages. So y'all go ahead.
And we've done this a little differently this time, as we've broken out the fixed income apart from the equity, because it's no longer just one balanced account. You've got four asset classes there. So, and I think the fixed income portion is first. If we go to the next page, one more. Okay, so this is the fixed income account broken out by itself. Again, pie chart on the right shows how it looked at the end of August. Fully invested 99% in bonds, 1% in cash. And then the total account value plus accrued income is at the bottom there. And it was almost $7,992,000. We go to the next page, we get some detail into the makeup. Breakdown is, again, the portfolio's on the left, the Barclays benchmark is on the right. And we remain underweight treasuries, we're overweight agencies, underweight mortgages, and a pretty big overweight to corporate bonds to try and get some incremental yield right now. Our average credit quality is AA. Duration is just over 4 years, 4.28. Average maturity, 5.8. And that gives us an average yield of maturity of 1.96 and a current yield of 4.51. If we go to the next page, look at performance. You know, that long rectangular chart at the bottom where it says total portfolio in the gray for the trailing quarter, and again, this has ended August 31st, return was 4.01. For the year-to-date, it was 8.09, and then a trailing 12 months, 7.58, and we've already discussed all those. Those are just a trailing number of two-year, three-year, five-year, and since inception.
Jeff, we're 2 basis points below the benchmark. Any explanation for it?
See this on which time frame?
12 months.
Latest 12 months.
Oh, 200 basis points.
6.8, we're 7.58.
Yeah, 200 basis points.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, 2%.
Yeah, 2%. You know, we've had a overweight to corporate, underweight to treasuries this entire period. We've now had treasuries rallying. The 10-year treasuries up 14% year to date. So I think it's, you know, again, an emphasis on yield, and it's been an area where total return by treasuries, I think, would explain most of that gap there on the trailing 12 months. Any other questions on fixed income? Okay, we can go to the equity portion.
Question on fixed income. Do you see that number dropping significantly, that yield?
Well, you know, the Fed's embarking on a new quantitative easing plan. Market had been rallying, and now it's started to sell off. You know, I would say right now Fed funds is at zero. I think the Fed keeps short-term rates around zero, at least into 2012. And then the 10-year Treasury possibly could decline another 25 basis points, unless this really does. This program takes hold, and we do start to see inflation creep into the picture. And at that point, and we're going to need to shorten up our exposure to interest rate risk, you know, bring in maturities. But at this point, we're still neutral duration across pretty much all mandates.
On page 29, there's withdrawals, quarterly withdrawals. Do we take all the money each quarter out of the bond portfolio to fund our monthly expenses?
Well, it's actually, there's only one account at Wells Fargo, and we break it up into two accounts for our purposes to manage one fixed income, one equity. So it comes out of one, and I believe that they've been coming out of where we allocate it, out of the equity account. But it's out of one account at the custodian. And I don't think that we've been taking any withdrawals from either the mid-cap from SMID or the international.
That's correct.
They're just coming out of the equity.
Just coming out of the equity side of it.
Right.
And we can go to the few pages ahead to the equity. And I can
Yeah, quite a few pages. Another 10 pages.
What page?
37. I don't know where you want to go.
There it is, yeah, there we go. Okay, now the...
Different page numbers.
Equity asset allocation, again, same time period, ended August 31st, 97% in stock, 3% in cash, given an account value plus accrued income at the end of August, $7,120,000. The dividend yield is out there on the right, about 2.22. So you're now at the point where your stock dividend yield's higher than a diversified fixed income portfolio. On to the next page. This is the breakdown. You got the top 10 holdings on the left. Microsoft, Chevron, J&J, IBM, and Conoco make up the top five. You've got the sector breakdown on the right. If we go one more slide, actually look at it versus the S&P 500. We remain overweight energy, overweight industrials, consumer discretionary. Our biggest underweight has been financials, and over a trailing year, it's probably been the largest detractor from performance. Being underweight financials, still think that's the right call. I think going forward, we're starting to see the financials start to weaken a little bit here. And then on the next page, you can see the performance. Again, the chart at the bottom, total portfolio in the gray. For the last quarter, at negative 7.44. The S&P was down 3.17 over the same time period. And then on a year-to-date basis, down 9.53. And S&P total return negative 4.62, and then a trailing 12 months negative 4, and the S&P positive 4.9. Update through Friday, the equity number, which is showing negative 9.5, it's now positive about 2. So the month of September was very good. However, the relative performance to the S&P is still underneath on a year-to-date basis by about 400 basis points.
This is just the equity side. This does not, when he says total portfolio, this is total equity portfolio only.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. With that 3% allocation of cash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why is it so bad?
Who's making those decisions?
Bob Dahl, who is was the chief investment officer at BlackRock. He has now been replaced. We have hired a new chief investment officer. Bob Dahl is just in charge of running our large cap series, which is our large cap core, large cap value, and large cap growth portfolios. We added a new quantitative analyst to his team last month. But again, you know, performance on a trailing or year to date, trailing year, 2 year, three, beating benchmark about even on, I mean, trailing on a 3 year, about even on a five. You know, it's frustrating to us too. We don't accept underperformance. So we've addressed it by adding members to his team, taking from where he's solely focused on this strategy. But you know, this might be a time where, you know, if you're going through this investment consultant search anyway, maybe look at, we've got some other strategies within BlackRock that are outperforming their benchmark, rather than, you know, get in here and quarter after quarter, I'm telling you the same story. So, and just if it comes up, the strategy is, it's equity dividend. It wouldn't fit in this large cap core space. It actually fits in the large cap value. And again, depending on what the consultant says, they might either have you continue to run with one large cap core and then a mid cap type manager, or they might break up that large cap space into a large cap growth and a large cap value. If that's the case, I think a strong look at the equity dividend portfolio might make sense here. Any other questions on the equity or the fix?
What would you grade this on a scale of A, B, C, D, E, F?
Liber actually does it for us, and this falls into the fourth quartile. On a trailing year and trailing three. On trailing five, I think it's second quartile.
Are we on some type of electronic trading platform? In other words, is somebody making a decision, or is it done electronically to buy and sell? Because I noticed in the sell side, you got rid of all of the odd lots. Got rid of there's list after list of 50 shares, 70 shares, 60 shares, and so on, which says to me that they were rounding off. Am I mistaken, or?
Sometimes we round by 5 shares, sometimes we round by 50, depending on account size. But no, it's not a electronic trading. I mean, Bob Dahl actually instructs us that we're gonna increase our Microsoft weighting to, you know, 2.8%. We do the math across the account, and if it tells us to buy, and let's say buy 128 shares, and we might, okay, we'll round down by 125, if we're rounding by 5 shares or if we're rounding by 25 shares. So, but those are instructions that come from Dahl. Then we put out that trade and we block that across, you know, all of the strategies that are in large cap core that have that trade that need to be made.
And he's not doing it now, so who is?
Oh, he is doing it. He's dropped his duties as chief investment officer for the firm.
Director Bell, also Wells Fargo and I were talking. There was $160,000 that came out of the fixed income to fund the distribution. Is that correct, Fred? So okay. About half of it.
Well, it looked like it, just the more of it than was coming out of the fixed income side versus equity side. That's the reason I was asking the question.
But it's you know, been kind of a manual process. Again, it's one account there, and then we have to break that up into two to manage it. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's coming out at one. Any other questions?
Okay, moving along, if there's no other questions. Any other comments, John?
No, I don't have
any. I mean, I'd like to make a general comment that generally when you lose on one side of it, and you're going to pick it up on the other side of it, it looks like we're doing worse on both sides of it, which is really pretty terrible performance. Anybody disagree with me?
It's terrible.